It doesn't matter. People, when you're really looking at your dollars, you make better decisions based on the value you perceive you're receiving. And as business owners, most of you on this call are probably entrepreneurs or sales professional types or marketing types. The experience you give people is at least 80% of the value that they get from the relationship they have and they feel they have with you. They just, look, people just want to feel like, good God, I'm in the right place.
Welcome to the Legacy Roadmap Podcast, your ultimate guide for creating a lasting legacy as an entrepreneur. Whether you're an ambitious entrepreneur or a seasoned business owner, our podcast offers insightful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and experts who have navigated the path of legacy creation. We explore topics that matter to you: personal responsibility, financial growth, leadership, and succession planning. Our goal? To equip you with practical insights and strategies that help you transition from simply running your business to building a legacy. Join us each week as we delve into purposeful discussions aimed at positively impacting future generations. Your journey towards leaving a lasting legacy starts right here, right now. Let's dive in.
Does your business serve homeowners? If so, you need to know about HOA.com, the number one referral network for professionals who serve homeowners. And we're looking for quality contractors and home service pros that we can recommend and refer to homeowners in your area. Not only will you get promoted on the HOA.com website, you'll get business from other certified pros and premier pros in your market. These people serve homeowners every day, so we help you build referral partnerships that keep referrals coming to your business for years to come. Go to HOA.com/pro now and get started.
Are you an entrepreneur or business owner? If so, you need to know about the Achieve Systems Business Building Membership. We are one of the best referral-based communities that wants to refer you. We help generate you thousands of leads per year. We also provide you an incredible mentorship program that has won many awards. We don't stop there. We have 60 plus opportunities to take your business to the next level, like authoring and publishing books and many, many more. Go to AchieveSystemsPro.com and get started today.
Do you want to make more money in your business? Most business owners focus on building revenue. That's not enough. Building profits is what feeds your family, and almost no business owner understands how to build profit without building revenue. I can show you with near-perfect accuracy the exact business growth strategies that will generate the most revenue for your business in the shortest amount of time, focused on building profit. Learn more at bizlife.coach. This week's guest was orphaned at age 6, lived in 19 foster homes, and attended 11 different schools. Rather than becoming a victim of those circumstances, Richard Wildman overcame them and has had a remarkable business success, including as an award-winning general manager of Rolls-Royce, to heading sales and marketing for The Rob Report, a magazine for the luxury lifestyle, from its inception until its record liquidity event. A Hall of Fame inducted keynote speaker, Richard has also been inducted into the Consumer Experience Hall of Fame for his legendary work helping brands engage with their customers and retain them. He's the author of 2 international bestsellers, the latest of which, The Power of Why, breaking out in a competitive marketplace, is in 7 languages. His newest book, 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life, just released this March and is available on Amazon or your favorite bookstore. Finally, he's a Horatio Alger nominee for his philanthropic work on behalf of orphans and widows. Robert talks with Richard Wildman about the importance of customer service and how the companies that truly care about people recognize the experience that they create. Richard helps business owners and leaders think about the experience they are creating for customers and how to improve their customer experience. We share some good and bad stories of customer service and the impact it has on people. Well, Richard, thanks so much for jumping on the show today. I know you're busy and the book is blowing up like crazy, and I'm excited to hear that because of just the impact I know your book can make in the business world.
Well, thanks, Robert. It's a blessing to be with you and all of those that are listening today. I just want to be here as a word of encouragement and give you some feedback on that, which it is that the consumer is looking for and how we can make things happen for you. So thank you, Robert.
Absolutely. So your new book, 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life. I know, just from my, from your release and launch with Bob Berg and right. The conversation that you had at the launch party, a lot of this is really, I mean, obviously it's customer service. It's focused on, taking care of the client, but there was some language things. And then I feel like behind the language things, there's some attitude things that really matter to serving people at a higher level. So I guess let's start there.
All right. It'd be fine. I think, and thanks for referencing Bob, this is my third book for human, as I call it, public consumption. And my editors say, this one's for human consumption. I'm always like, what does that mean? But anyway, we always have a good laugh.
Who else is going to read it?
Exactly. But the first two are, in seven languages. And they've done very well. And I'm grateful for that internationally as well. But this one, 100 Proven Ways to Acquire and Keep Clients for Life. What really drove me to write this is because today, the environment we're in today, good service is not good enough. It's a it's an absolute minimum expectation. And I'm not talking about, the luxury space, Gucci, Pucci, Fendi. I'm talking about if you go to McDonald's and the fries are cold, they're going to hand you hot fries. It's a minimum expectation today. So for companies, entrepreneurs, and people say, well, we give good service. I mean, how magnanimous of you? Okay, I gave you money and you're going to actually take my phone call. This is just somewhere around fantastic. What people are looking for is an elevated experience. So when I sent Bob a couple chapters and then he said, I want to write the foreword for it. So he wrote the foreword for the book. And you're right, the launch, but we had over 650 people on Zoom at the launch party. And that was a real blessing. But from the standpoint of where is it, it's really about the experience people are having. So service is important. And there's been a lot of things written about service. When I wrote this book, I didn't write it from a standpoint of we've got to do a better job servicing people. I went out and interviewed people through our consulting work. We work in all different, from the NFL to banking to fast food restaurants to hospitals, lots of different industries, packaging industry, air conditioning industry, others, even did a pipe fitters group. So we do a lot of talking to the consumer. And what are they looking for? And what they're looking for today, as I said, service is a minimum expectation. They're really looking for an elevated experience. And if they don't get it, because of the commoditization of almost everything, they got other choices. And they're not afraid to vote with their wallet in this environment. So that's what created the demand in my mind to write this book about what does a consumer really want? And most importantly, how do you deliver it? That's the key. So thank you, Robert.
Absolutely. Well, it's so telling, right? As a business coach and working with, guys that run trucks and service providers and you see the service providers and on the back of their truck, they'll make, on time guarantee and certified plumbers or certified electricians. I'm like, that's pretty much required by law. So
we're happy for you.
These basic promises that we're putting out as if they're different than every other company is kind of odd. Right. And I guess the consumer expectation, we're going to leave your floors clean when we walk out of the house. Like, wait a minute. Why won't everybody else do that?
Well, that's exactly right. So it's one thing to talk it straight. It's a whole nother thing to demonstrate.
And that's really challenging, right? Because a lot of companies tout these customer experience promises, but very few actually deliver. And I think we're being challenged now to the point of, Amazon, whether you like it or not, has created an incredible customer experience and it can be a little challenging to communicate with customer service, but the overall experience is I didn't receive what I ordered. Hey, let me send you another one. What do you want me to do with this one? Oh, we don't care. So they're creating opportunity to, for our family, the biggest expectation was the 2-day delivery. right? And so now we get this 2-day delivery expectation, and you go to order from somebody else and they say, well, it'll be there in 10 days. And you're like, wait, what?
Well, you're right. And it's interesting you mentioned Amazon, because although they're obviously not the arbiter of all things elevator right. by any stretch, but here's reality. And every company needs to realize, and every entrepreneur listening to this and leader, even if you don't own the company, maybe you're running a crew. Here's the reality. Your clients, your customers are going to have an experience with you and your organization. You're the one that decides what's that going to be. Now, in Bezos' case, what he did and with their mantra and every single leadership meeting, this is the center core of every discussion. It's what you don't see in that photograph when he was sitting at that old style computer at that folding desk, and everybody said, there he is grinding away. As he told me, he said, Richard, I wasn't grinding away. Because what they don't show you is what I had written on a yellow pad stuck in a wall over here. I'm going to build the most customer-centric company in the world. And that was his vision. Now, I would suggest to you, they've stayed very true to that. I mean, where else do you order something, and when you receive it, they send you the return label so you can send it back? I mean, that's just an illustrative point. Now, right. How does that apply to you as your business, as an entrepreneur? Every single business owner, every team leader, you should have a vision for the experience that your, I'll say, customers are going to have with you. May I give you an example? Freddy's Steak Burger and Custard. All right, we worked with them. Now, they're they have great steak burger, great custard, fabulous. And, you know, what did they do? Their mission is to deliver really fabulous steak burgers and custard in a fun and friendly environment. Great. But that doesn't talk about experience. And so in working with them, they came up with the experience they want all the customers to have. And that is to have really great steak burger and custard served with gracious hospitality in a fun environment. Well, they just won the National Restaurant Award for the best fast casual in the United States. They beat everybody, Culver, Smashburger, everybody. Now, how does that happen? Well, let's take a couple examples. Ritz-Carlton, they do this. Monarch Direct Printing in Port Charlotte, Florida, massive growth. They do this. Freddy's, every one of them do this. What is this? They have that vision statement, and every morning the team gets together and they go over one tenet of how they're going to deliver it that day. As an example, every Ritz-Carlton in the world, they have a gather room. Every morning, everybody comes in that's working the shift that morning. The duty manager comes in and said, okay, we're going to serve people today, ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. And today, the ritual we want to reinforce with all of our clients in house is we're going to smile and be friendly. Everybody ready? Smile and be friendly. Smile and be friendly. The next day is we're going to greet everybody with thoughtfulness. The next day, every day they have another ritual they cover. Now, what's the point? That reinforces in the employee, this is who we are. This is the experience we deliver. And it empowers people to go the extra mile, do the extra thing, think the extra thought that they wouldn't necessarily if they were just an employee collecting a check and you're driving the bus.
You mentioned a really powerful word right there, empower. My wife and I host conferences here in Denver, and we had an appointment with the hotel with, you know, their conference employee to help us set up and make the arrangements. Right. And we went an hour early because we had a couple appointments, and the front desk girl couldn't give us the Wi-Fi code to sit and use the Wi-Fi while we're at the hotel scheduling a conference that'll make the hotel, you know, $20,000 or $30,000. And I was mind boggled. I'm like, you know, we're here to schedule a conference. We're bringing in a couple hundred people to stay at the hotel and do all these things to schedule this event. And you're not going to let us use the Wi-Fi for an hour before our meeting, you know, with your concierge service. And she's like, I'm sorry, sir. I don't have that power. Like, so she wasn't empowered to fulfill what the hotel promises to their guests. And for me, it happens a lot, right? We've got these great ideas. We want to take care of our customers, but we're not empowering the person that's customer facing to actually do the things that would help take care of the customer. That wouldn't cost the hotel anything to give us the Wi-Fi code. Like, there's no cost.
You don't have to say we're empowering you. The point is, if you build a culture that's all around the customer or the client, people will automatically try to see things from, let's say, the customer or client point of view. So, I mean, I'll give you a real quick example. I was speaking in Nashville. You know, I speak at conferences all over the world, and I was in Nashville in November. And, you know, 1,200, you know, ballroom full, 1,000, 1,200 people, whatever. And I was speaking on elevating the customer experience to create a business of distinction. And it was a whole group of entrepreneurs in the trades. Anyway, long story short, I was about 20 minutes in. I said, by the way, I saw on a link this morning, this woman had posted about her cat. I said, this is a classic example of people going forward. I said, this is November. She had a standing order for cat food with Chewy. The cat food arrived at her home. She called Chewy on the phone and said, I want to return the cat food. My cat has died. The rep at Chewy said, absolutely not. You cannot return it. Donate it to the shelter. We'll give you 100% credit on your bill. Audience goes, woo. I said, but that's only half the story. I said, because 3 days later, she got a bouquet of flowers and a condolence card from the rep at Chewy. And at that instant, Robert, this woman stood up in the middle of a ballroom of 1,000 people, held up her phone and screamed, that was my cat. I posted it this morning. I mean, it was like stunned silence. She said, and 1,200 likes.
Yeah. How many of those people in that room just changed their pet's diet plan to Chewy's?
That's exactly what I said. How many in this room would now decide Chewy's the place to go? And the whole room starts chanting, even if they didn't have a pet, we're switching to Chewy. So what's the point? The point is, because of the culture they built at Chewy, that rep didn't have to say, well, I'm sorry, I can't give you the Wi-Fi card and I can't send you a flower. She took it upon herself to send it. Contrast that with a bank I was in the other day. I was walking down the street. I needed quarters for the meter. So I stopped in the bank. I said, here's a 20. I need two rolls of quarters. Do you have an account here? I said, no, I don't. Well, we can't help you. Like, holy moly. So I went across the street. I walked up to the girl. I said, literally walked across the street and said, I need 2 rolls of quarters. She said, let me get that for you. And then she came back and I said, why didn't you ask me if I had an account here? Oh, sir, we're not just here to sell you. We're here to serve the community. See, there's a culture.
Right. Well, and the challenge sometimes is these companies want to create the culture, but they're afraid to empower their people. They're afraid that they might make a mistake. And I don't think you could ever make a mistake when you're doing something from the customer's perspective.
Yeah, most of those people that I run into, I have a situation now where somebody wants me to speak, they don't want me to talk about the culture of elevating the experience. So I don't know that, you know, I'm like, I need to call with the CEO. I probably won't be going there. Because here's what happens. They said, yeah, but we want them to stay focused on the sale and the transaction. And that's the mindset in some, not many, some companies, that the transaction and the sale is important. Obviously, we need to drive revenue. Let's not be confused here. But the truth is the lifetime value, LTV, is what most entrepreneurs don't think about. If you're in the air conditioning business and you get a customer and you're going to put in a new air conditioner or you clean their ducts or whatever, as long as they're in that home, if you do a really great job and you elevate their experience, you go the extra mile and you're kind and thoughtful, caring and empathetic, the next time they need the system service, they're going to dial 1-800, I need you to come back to my house. And they're going to become a brand advocate for you in the community. On the other hand, if you just treat it like a transaction, they never hear from you again. It makes a difference. May I give you one example very quickly, Robert?
Absolutely.
Here in Sarasota, Florida, I have a home here and a home in Honolulu because I speak all over the world. So I'm halfway to everywhere from either place. Nice. So, in any case, next to the police station here, there's a place called 5-0 Donuts, which of course makes all the sense in the world. And their tagline is arrestingly good donuts. But you know, I bought my first donut there August 4th, 2019. Now you go, well, how in the world would you ever remember that? Well, because every August 4th, I get a text. Congratulations, squad member. Another loyal year on the force. $5 wow. off your next donut order. Every August 4th. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Robert. I buy life insurance. I have a bank account. I never hear from those people ever again. So if you're servicing my air conditioner, could you at least send, don't always send me, you need to get this thing serviced, otherwise we're going to, no, how about just congratulations, another year as a wonderful customer. My guy in Hawaii, he's fabulous. He sends me every 6 months, I get a text from him. I know things are going well or I would have heard from you, but always know we're here for you.
We'll be right back after this short break. Do you need an increase in revenue? We help business owners find $100K in 90 days and create a roadmap for implementation. There's no pressure, just a chance to get some assistance and clarity. Scheduling is easy. Simply visit ownitcall.com and select a time that works for you. It's time for you to focus on doubling the 20% that creates 80% of your revenue. Welcome back. Let's get back to more greatness.
Well, what happens? My neighbor's like, my air conditioner's going on. I said, let me tell you, you need to call.
Right.
$14,000 job the guy gets.
Yeah. Well, and I think the challenge with them is that customer communication, because you don't have to sell us something, but hey, what if you send out a reminder every 6 months that says, hey, did you change your filter? Because you want your system to last for a lifetime. Changing the filter is the easiest step to make that happen.
Exactly, and right. It's like realtors. I have a friend of mine selling her house, and I had another. Anyway, we were all having dinner, and she said, who did you use to sell your house? Because you guys sold it real quick. She asked my friend, and he said, I don't remember her name. And I'm like, you know, sold the house. And then never heard from that realtor again, or there was no cultivation. Our job as professionals, as business owners, is to cultivate the relationship, because relationships drive revenue, nothing else. I mean, you can discount the hell out of your products. Good luck with that. Let me know how margins work out. I don't want to discount the product. What I want to do is enhance the value so we can, extend the life of the relationship where they'll continue to spend money. It's called lifetime value. And not enough entrepreneurs, myself included for many years, was really thought about the lifetime value of a relationship. So if you invest in relationships, that's the critical link between acquisition and retention.
So what can we do to build this relationship, to cultivate a relationship with a client, especially for something like a furnace that only, you know, should last 20 years. And so how does a business owner feel that lifetime value?
Well, the most, like, let's take your example of someone who buys a brand new furnace. Okay. That furnace needs to be serviced. Okay. Filters need to be changed. Ductwork needs to be vacuumed, et cetera. Most, not all, but nearly every, let's say everybody in that space, typically sells probably both sides of the house, air conditioning and heating, but let's just say it's a heating company. All right. Well, you can stay in touch with these people and cultivate them. Like I just illustrated with 5-0 donuts. There's no reason why you can't a couple of times a year just want to make sure you're doing well. And by the way, there's been some upgrades on your control system. If you'd like to make it easier to set the temperature and have it remain steady, you can just send little things like this along. And it reminds me of the relationship we have. And it keeps you, hear me now, top of my mind. So when the window of opportunity comes open to mention to my friend who's looking for a new furnace, or I ask, my wife said, you know, honey, it just seems so cold in the back of the house. I'm going to, you know what? I need to call 1-800-GET-GEORGE over here. That's what I need to do. So, but it's cultivation of that relationship. Now, the question is, how do you do it? Send special notes on special days like they do at 5-0 Donuts. And we often think about it as a transaction. Well, let's see, what does this guy do for a living? He's a school teacher. Why don't you send him a congratulations as a school teacher on Teacher Appreciation Day? You can send it by 123 greeting cards. You can send it as an email. Just send it to him. Say, hey, I know you're a school teacher and we love taking care of your heating, your air conditioning, your car, whatever. Just congratulations. Another year as a wonderful teacher in our community. Or maybe it's Grandparents Day. So you, and that's in September. So you send him a Happy Grandparents Day card. If we can ever help you in any way, we want to make sure you have a warm winter and keep your bills down. Little things like that cultivate the relationship, and people feel like, you know what, I'm in the right place with the right provider. And that makes a huge impact on the psyche and the sense of value. We're doing some work right now that we've about discovered. that about 80% of the value that someone gets out of the trades is based upon the experience they're having with the provider. Now, in the if you get into the financial markets, it's even higher. So why? Because what people are saying today is, look, cultivate me. And I'll give you a couple more things. Stop telling people you're just following up. People hate that. They hate it. I'm just calling to follow up, see what you want to do about that new furnace. I'm just calling to follow up, see what you want to do about opening that account. I'm just calling to follow up what you want to do about. Look, if you're just calling to follow up, that means you got absolutely nothing more you can offer me. By the way, if I'd made a decision, I would have called you. Adults want steps. And I talk about it in the book because I interviewed people and I say, why don't you make a decision? They said, because they always say things like, well, so how's that sound? So what do you think? So does that work for you? So is that pretty clear? But they never tell us what the next steps are, and adults want steps. So if, Robert, you and I are working together, and maybe I've sent you in a proposal or something, I'm going to call you up and say, Robert, I'm not going to say, hey, Robert, I just followed up, see what you and Donna decided to do over there. No, I'm going to say, hey, Robert, I've been sitting here thinking about, I've identified two additional steps we can take to get your house on the market even more quickly. Oh, what are those? In other words, I want to create curiosity. Another thing is stop sending your telling me to feel free to call. Well, it is free. I got a cell phone. You understand that, big boy? All I got to do is dial the number. I'm paying the bill. Why don't you say something like, feel welcome to call anytime. Be gracious. Be gracious. And don't ask me if I can spell my name, because I probably can't. But what you might want to do is say, my name is Richard. Great. All right. Do you go by Richard? Yes. I might go by Rick. Well, then I would put that in my database because I want to make sure I address you as Rick, not as Richard, if it were the case. My first initial is C, stands for Charles. I don't use it. But I get lots of emails. Dear C, I don't read those. T. Boone Pickens was a friend of mine. He never went by T. He went by Boone. But he got lots of mail. Dear T. So think about the constituents on the other side of the table and be gracious. Chick-fil-A is a good, Truett Cathy was a good friend of mine, and he passed away a couple of years ago from skin cancer. But Truett used to, we did a lot of things together. And he always used to say, now, Richard, with the team, we always got to remind him we're not in the chicken business. I said, what business are we in? He said, we're in the people business. And if you look at it, Chick-fil-A closes 52 days a year. Here's another way to look at it, Robert. They close November 10th. And reopen January 1st. Those are 52 days. And yet they produce more revenue per store than any other franchise in the world, all of them combined, even those open 24/7, 365. Now the question is why? Well, I went to Chick-fil-A, and of course I know why, because they were always about the people, not the chicken. But it's easy for me to say it. But I told Dan, it's Truett's son, president, I said, I want to walk the line to some of these restaurants and stick a mic in the car and ask people why they're here. He said, well, it won't be for the chicken. They'll love it, but there'll be other good reasons. I'm like, you sure? I'm positive. So I walked down the line. I stick the mic in the car and said, hi, trying to find out why you're here at Chick-fil-A. Oh, the chicken sandwiches. Oh, the chicken. I love the waffle pie. Oh, that's great. The lemon. I said, great. So that's why you're here. Well, they're always so nice and so kind and so gracious here. Car after car. And finally, the one car, and I expected in this little girl in the back, jumps up behind her mother's desk. He said, and I like coming here because I know my mommy's car and they always bring me extra pickles and we don't have to ask. Is that clear? You know what people want? They only want four things. Competency is a given. If you have a card that says you're a dentist, we're going to pretty much believe you can drill me. Right. I mean, we're going with it. Okay? But there's only four things people want. And how do they find? Because I interviewed people. Hundreds. Now, with Salesforce, we did 6,048. You know, four things. Somebody that's what? Thoughtful, that takes an extra minute to slow down and really engage with me. Two, they want somebody that's caring, cares enough to find out what I really want instead of recommending what you think I need without really doing a full analysis. So they want thoughtful and caring. They want somebody that's kind. That'll go the extra mile, do the extra, like the girl from Chewy. That was kind. And the last thing is they want some empathy. try to see things from my point of view, understand the economy's under pressure. I'm under pressure. I have to figure out where I'm going to spend what money I have. And I'm not going to spend it where I feel taken for granted. I'm treated like an account and people don't even know who I am. And they talk to me and they talk down to me. They say things like, does that make sense? Look, I ain't that stupid. Okay. But I appreciate you asking if that makes sense. Or like a guy the other day said to me, he said, now I know this is complicated and hard to follow me. Right. I said, let's stop right here. I said, let me tell you something. Your job is to make it easy for me to understand. It is? Okay, yeah, let me get that for you. Think about the way we communicate. You ask about, remember you said the subtle words that we talked about in the book club. That's what drives people. They feel like, thank God I'm with somebody that cares about me, thoughtful, kind, and understands my point of view. And when you do that, I mean, people just feel like, thank God I'm in the right place with the right provider. And people are going through a great reevaluation now. They're asking themselves, am I with the right fill in the blank, hairdresser, dentist, doctor, dry cleaner, car? It doesn't matter. People, when you're really looking at your dollars, you make better decisions based on the value you perceive you're receiving. And as business owners, most of you on this call are probably entrepreneurs or sales professional types or marketing types. The experience you give people is at least 80% of the value that they get from the relationship they have and they feel they have with you. They just, look, people just want to feel like, good God, I'm in the right place. I'm going to give you one more thing. I talked to a CEO this morning, and he was raving about his satisfaction scores. Our satisfaction scores. The survey just came out. So he called me and said, did you see how well we did? Fortune 50 company. I said, yeah, that's good. You're up 3 points. I'm happy for you. I said, but just remember this. Satisfaction surveys is a look back. It's a comment on something that's already occurred. I said, the challenge is with these satisfaction surveys, they don't ask anything that's forward. He said, like what? I said, tell me the most important question on your survey. Well, how satisfied are you with our communication tools? I said, that's not what's important. What's important is maybe this question. What are three things we can do to elevate our experience? What are three things we can do to elevate your experience with our firm? Oh, he said. I said, they're going to give you insight. And it's going to change the game. I said, you know, when you bring a new business, what is your sales force? What do you teach them? He said, we always want to know why they joined our firm. I said, well, that's good for the ego. He said, here's what you ought to be asking them. Why did you leave the other one?
Oh.
Is it because when you find that out, you know what not to do? And usually the way we find out what not to do is after we do it and lose the business. And then we say, I thought they were satisfied, but they weren't delighted. So always ask, why did you leave? If I'm running a restaurant and people come in 3 or 4 times, say, I know you've been eating other places. Why did you stop going there so much? Well, we come here, the fish is fresh and they always give us our table. Or if you're running a dry cleaner and somebody said, yeah, I used to do business down the street, but I decided to come to you, you get my clothes cleaned. Well, why did you leave there? Well, they were really hard to deal with. They made it really difficult, et cetera, et cetera. That gives you an ad campaign second to none, not to run them down, but to elevate you. So if you really want to have personalized, humanized service, dial 1-800, we'll clean your clothes. That all makes sense. So if you think about it, if you really think about it, the process, instead of asking people, does that make sense? Does that make sense? Realize it does make sense. So what you do, just say things. Instead, when you're doing a presentation, don't say, does that make sense? Say, is that helpful? You see, it's just a different way of saying it, but it's in a way that gives them permission to say, well, yeah. And don't say, do you have any questions? Say, what questions do you have? And when you're asking tough questions, don't be so direct. So how much money did you make there, Robert? I mean, stop. I mean, and then people will say this. I mean, I was at a conference the other day, and this guy's on stage telling people how to communicate. What you say is, if you don't mind me asking, how much money do you make? And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, that's exactly the opposite of the consumer. Because as soon as I say, Robert, if you don't mind me, I'm not even going to get the rest of it out. You're going to like, what's coming now? The point is, you got to put the predicate on the back. It changes the game. Give me an example. If you don't mind me asking, how much money? You're not even going to, if you don't mind me asking, how much money are you going to invest in the house? Well, I do mind you asking, well, we're really not ready to talk. We haven't thought about it yet. That's what you get. I do a lot of work in the real estate industry. And in fact, Barbara Corcoran, Steve, they were 97th in her group. Now they're fifth. So she's pretty happy. And, at Keller Williams. But here's the point. What I taught them was put the predicate on the back of the question. Instead of saying, if you don't mind me asking, how much do you want to invest in a house? If you don't mind me asking, what's your budget? As soon as you say, if you don't mind me asking, people are defensive. Just say, how much do you want to invest in your house if you don't mind me asking? What kind of a budget are you looking for when you're going to remodel here if you don't mind me asking? And I focus group this and people will slump. Well, we don't normally talk about it, but let me tell you what's going, and here it comes. Why? Because as Covey said, when you demonstrate empathy, defensiveness goes down, and they're open to creative solutions. So reverse the way you say, I know people say, well, that's bad English. Okay, well, snap out of it. The truth is, if it makes people more comfortable, I'll go with it. And we found over and over, I mean, I've spoken about this all over the world, and I mean, every language I get emails from people about, it's just amazing how people immediately, the defensiveness goes away because they can feel the empathy that you're positioning is, I know this isn't an easy question. You're not saying that. You're not saying, I know. It's just, you know, how much money do you want to invest in? If you don't mind me asking, they say, well, here it comes. And then can I give you one other example that I did with Barbara's team? That might be
helpful
tomorrow, really. So in working with this team, when anybody would list a house or they would sell a house through them, they would send them a cake, a round cake, said, congratulations. So they were telling me about this. And I said, so I asked them, what do you send? Well, we send a cake. I said, great. What kind of cake? A round cake. I said, well, I don't care what size, shape it is, but what's a cake say? It says, congratulations. I said, now, what does it say on the cake? It says, congratulations. I says, for what? Well, what do you mean? We're sending it congratulations. They listed the house or congratulations. You sold it. I said, well, that's like getting a birthday cake without your name on it. I said, why don't we take a cake and put the drawing of a house in the frosting? And if they bought a new house, put the house number. Or if they're selling their house, put a caption underneath it. We're going to sell this one so you can get your dream home. They're like, whoa. I said, you know, what? Be kind. Go the extra mile. Be thoughtful. Go one more step. So the very next one, they did it. Two new buyers sold two new houses, two brand new listings, all because that couple posted it on Facebook. I'll give you another tip. If you send people a cake, like it's a birthday, don't send it to the office. Don't send it to the house. If it's congratulations, another successful year as my client, your financial advisor, don't send the cake to the house. Send it to the office. Why? It's going to end up in the break room and they're going to be cutting the cake. And people say, oh, is it your birthday? No, my financial advisor, my realtor sent this to me. No, the plumbing company we used on the new house sent this to me. What? God, I never hear from my people. Well, I'll give you a quick story. This young girl, a wonderful gal, her name is Misty, and she did that for a client. She sent it to the office. And he's sitting there cutting the cake in the cake room. This woman walks in, another employee, and was like, what is the cake? Is it your birthday? He said, no, my financial advisor said, congratulations, 11 years we've been working together. She said, really? I don't even know my financial advisor. And her husband died 6 months before, and she starts crying, and I can't get any. And you know what the guy did? He picked up his phone. He dialed his advisor and said, this is one of my colleagues. Her husband died 6 months ago. She's really struggling. Would you talk to her? $1.2 million in assets.
That's a referral.
Look, when you demonstrate and personalize and humanize, you're just going to win more business. That's it.
Yeah. That's a fantastic place for us to stop, Richard. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate so much wisdom that you shared. For the entrepreneurs listening, go out and get the book because it's a fantastic tool for acquiring clients and keeping them for a lifetime.
Absolutely. Thank you. And you go to my website. I put some videos up there for you, about 25 or 30 little snippets, 2 minutes. They're not tied to YouTube. I put them up on the platform singularly. so you can show them at sales meetings and stuff. If you'd like me to speak at one of your conferences or your association meeting, it's Richard Weilman, Weilman.com, Weilman.com, Richard Weilman, Weilman.com. And there's videos you can watch. You can order the book there. You can download a chapter free. I just want you to be able to see what they see, communicate the way they want to be communicated with on an ongoing basis, and you're going to win more business. So thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Robert, thank you so much for being such a great host. It's been a blessing.
And I think the Audible copy drops in about a week and a half.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's great.
All right. Thank you for joining me, Richard. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode brought to you by the power of intentional decisions that lead to massive action. These aren't just buzzwords. They're qualities that can help you take control of your life and build a successful 6 or 7 figure business. To support you on this journey, we're offering one of our most popular books, Fish Out, Leads In, 52 Fresh Ideas for Lead Generation. You can download it free at enjoybizlife.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please show us some love by liking, subscribing, and leaving a review. But most importantly, share it with someone who needs to hear it. In our next episode, Vanessa Raymond and Robert talk about the legacy of performance, from performing on stage as a dancer to speaking on stages to audiences of business professionals. Vanessa shows the importance of confidence and developing yourself as a leader. On the episode, she shares how to grow your confidence, improve relationships, and create a powerful personal brand.